Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, yeah. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time. You are now in the host queue.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I was like, okay, what? I'm like so confused here because I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, I called and then I didn't hear anything, so I called back.
Okay. We'll start this all over. I'm sorry, Collie. I am not sure what was just going on there because I could see the lines, the mic open, and like no talking was going on. Like, okay, am I here all by myself? But anyway, my friend, thank you so much for stepping onto the leopard carpet with me. I am just thrilled to have you here. You're somebody new to me, so that's always exciting, you know, to have somebody, you know, come on that I'm not so familiar with and to be able to hear their story as, you know, the listeners of Flavor News Radio is hearing your story for the first time. And, you know, in looking at your bio and everything, you know, you've been busy at this game for quite a while.
Yeah, I have been. Yeah, thank you for having me. And I'm glad that I was able to get through. But, yeah, I started out doing theater and professionally. And then in order to supplement my income with singing with bands as well.
Okay.
And then when I met the person who co-wrote all the songs with me, decided to just go ahead and start writing and use a live band as the foundation for all the songs, since that's where I started out singing with, you know, live music.
Okay. So you started actually performing in junior high on stage and in theater.
Yeah, I started junior high school. Well, I was more like in the chorus, but once I got to high school, definitely was doing theater. I went to the high school music and art in Manhattan, and so started doing theater then. Did it in my junior and senior year, and then went to Syracuse University actually for musical theater.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but there is an echo.
Okay.
Do you by chance have your computer on also?
I do have my computer on. I can turn it right off.
Okay. So maybe if you could turn the speakers off.
I'll just turn it off altogether. Oh, no, I don't have you on speaker.
You can't hear me?
I just had the computer.
Oh, you don't have the show?
No.
I'm not sure where the feedback's coming from then.
And I'm on my house phone, I'm not on a cell phone.
Okay. Huh. Wonder how we could resolve the feedback noise.
You think maybe I should try to call back?
Why don't you hang up and call back? I'll go ahead and play another one of your tracks, and then hopefully when you call back in, maybe we can have that part resolved.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you so much,
Kelly.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay. So I'm sorry, everybody, I'm not sure what is going on there with the sound, but I'm going to go ahead and jump into another track by Collie Williams so that you can get some more of her flavor until we resolve, you know, the sound issue. So this is All You Need by Collie Williams.
Mm-hmm. constantly. And I am the one to fulfill your dreams. So don't be afraid of me. You never met a real woman before till I walked right in your door. And I saw your heart lying down on the floor. All you need, all you need is a cup of my love, boy. All you need is a little bit more joy. All you need is to be my love, boy. It's to be my love, boy. All you need is a cup of my love, boy. All you need is a little bit more joy. All you need is to be my love, boy. It's to be my
artist out of Kansas. He was like, he was kind of digging the echo. I'm like, okay, oh, silly, silly man. Anyway, I want you to know that Lady Monolod from Germany is in the chat room.
And, oh, she is. Hi.
Yes.
Oh,
yes, yes, yes. So she's sending her love to you, definitely. So, okay, so let's kind of just go over again what you had talked about in case people weren't able to hear it. There are a lot of people listening in the wings. There's actually several guests in the chat room along with Stephen, Jerome Ferguson, and Lady Marmalade from Germany. So so you started in junior high in singing in the chorus, and then
when you advanced
onto high school, you went to the School of Performing Arts school in Harlem.
Yeah.
And that's when you actually stepped on stage and started really doing the theatrical part of performing. So you had, and you kind of stuck with that after you graduated from Syracuse University with performing on stage, correct?
Well, what I did was I kind of was trying to be practical. I was trying to take the practical route. My father actually died when I was in college. And
okay.
He was the person that really pushed me, one of the family members that really, really pushed me because he was a singer. He had been a doo-wop singer. And
okay.
he had actually stopped doing that to support the family. And so he really, really encouraged me. And my mother was always supportive, but she really wanted me to do something more practical. So
okay.
Once he passed away, I was just like, you know what? I didn't feel that encouragement anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let me go ahead
sure.
and change my major. So I changed my major to education. And I actually graduated
okay.
with a degree in education. But I continued even after I changed my major. And then after I graduated, I would just go take voice lessons. Even though I wasn't doing theater then and I wasn't performing, I still would just go do
oh.
it. It was almost like something in me was just driving me to still train.
Sure.
Like it was going to come eventually. You know, I was like on autopilot. I didn't have a plan or anything. I was just teaching every
okay.
day and coming home. But I still felt like I needed to keep myself. I still needed to grow artistically.
Sure. So then at what point then, Kali, did you say, okay, I really do want to just do this. I want to perform. I want to get on stage.
I started to just feel like something was missing more and more. And I just I had a roommate at the time that was like, look at some auditions in the Washington Post. You know, there are
okay.
auditions in there. And so a lot of it was for community theater. Eventually, I found out about an audition for Ain't Misbehavin', which I actually had done in high school. And
okay.
when I auditioned for that, there were a lot of people at the time, serendipitously, I would like to say, that actually had the same dream of mine to sing or to act professionally. So we really encouraged each other, and a lot of folks from that play had actually gone on to do professional theater or just professional singing. There actually was several jazz artists in the play with me who were singing, but they weren't doing what they're doing now. They've gone on to do a lot of stuff. So we just encouraged each other, and after that play, did a couple of more community theater plays, and then I started doing professional theater. I started going to professional auditions. I got my headshots, and I just started doing professional theater.
So with your experience in just kind of doing the community theater, it really kind of, in a sense, gave you a foundation to work from, to have that courage to step out there to do
yeah.
professional
mm-hmm.
theater.
Yes.
So
yes.
when you started, what did that actually look like when you started, you know, doing it professionally?
Well, I actually, the first professional show I did was actually Pearly at the Kennedy Center, and that was with
okay.
Stephanie Mills. So it was
wow.
kind of like, it was like big. It was like huge.
Yeah.
It was like Stephanie Mills
okay.
and some other folks. But that's the person that stands out in my mind because I was like, wow, I didn't expect to just walk in and be in this big. I was in the chorus, but I mean, to be
right.
in this big production was like
sure.
huge. So that's where I started out, and I did a lot of work with the Kennedy Center. I went on tour with them. Then I did some other theater with some other companies in D.C. But then I started doing I started focusing on the studio and kind of
okay.
moved away from theater. And this year I've actually gotten back into it. I did some work. I did a reading, and then I did a play called Running Amok. So I've been back into the theater again, sort of, you know, just getting myself back into it slowly but surely because I do love it. But, yeah, when
okay.
I went into theater, I went in fast. It wasn't like a slow thing. I started doing it, and everything just took off.
Now, is that that's not the norm for most people trying to get into even theater, that they're able to just kind of jump right into it, right? Doesn't it? For most people, it's a lot of auditions and being told no and this and that.
I guess, you know, I didn't even think about it. I did a lot of training, I think, beforehand, so
okay.
I wasn't really I went to a lot of auditions, and I didn't get the parts, but I did very well
okay.
when I was doing theater in D.C. I did do very well, but, I mean, before that, like I said, I was taking voice lessons, and I was taking
yeah.
acting lessons, and I was going to how to audition. I was going to
okay.
workshops on how to audition, you know, and
okay.
I was like, I didn't even have a – I don't honestly think at that point I had a plan. I was like, I guess –
you know, as I went along, I started to develop this plan that this was what I wanted to do. And I remembered saying, I was in one class, and I said, I want to work. I want to do theater, and I want this to be the way that I make my living. So that was my goal, and that's what happened. And I really believe that if folks really put their mind to something and have a vision, it will happen if you do the work that you need to do, because that has happened to me in my life. If I just said, oh yeah, I want to do it, but I don't put any effort in, and I don't begin to have a vision and don't do the work, then it doesn't happen. But if I do that, then it really comes to be.
Well, and I appreciate you saying that, you know, because a lot of the talk that I do and have with artists on Slave News Radio is around the fact that, you know, you got to do your research. You've got to do the work. You got to put in the time and the effort and even the money sometimes to just really, really make things happen for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody doesn't know about you, they're not going to come knocking on your door. So I definitely can appreciate that story. So tell me this. Now, have you performed as a solo artist on stage, or has it just been in the studio so far?
No. I perform live at a spot in D.C. every Wednesday night. I've been doing it for about 4 years now. It's called JoJo's Restaurant.
Okay.
And it's 1518 U Street. So anybody listening, if you're in the D.C. area, I'll be there tomorrow, and I'm there every Wednesday with a trio. It used to be a quartet. We used to have a sax. It's a bass, guitar, and drums. We used to have a sax, and we no longer have the sax, but we welcome folks, you know, people come and sit in with us from time to time. But I've been doing that for about 4 years, and that has really built up my skill set. But before that, I did sing around town at different spots, but this regular weekly thing has really, I felt, made me very confident, and I feel very confident to perform live, you know, as a solo artist.
So what would you say is the similarities or differences between doing theater and then being, you know, performing live as an artist?
I think it has helped me because I when you're on stage with other folks, you think of it, I always have thought of it as a team. You know, you kind of really lean on each other and rely on each other. I remember doing a scene with someone, and I actually was about to forget my line, and I don't know how he felt that I was about to forget my line, because we weren't there yet. But he was saying his line, and he must have saw something in my eyes. We had done the scene so many times.
Okay.
And he said my line, and then he said his line, and then after he said his line, then I went back and said my line. He totally covered for me. It was seamless. Nobody in the audience would have ever known. And that's the kind of thing that you also need when you're playing, when you're playing with a band. You all need to be able to rely on each other, and there needs to be a flow, and the audience doesn't need to know if something happens that's out of order. I have played with musicians, and that doesn't always happen. But I would say where I am right now, the musicians that I play with, we definitely have that kind of energy and synergy where we work together and we lean on each other. So that is very similar to me, or I've used that from theater, and I brought that to the stage with the band. I definitely have used that, and that really, really works for me.
That's interesting.
That's one of the major things.
Sure. I can see how that would work, and I can see how you would, you know, be able to take that experience from theater and use it. But I think it's wonderful that you actually work with a live band.
Oh, yeah. And I don't like to, you know what, now this is the thing that I'm really, and my manager, I'm sure he's listening, Keon Brooks. Thank you to Keon for everything. But he's like, you know, you might have to sing with tracks, you know, it's coming up. And I am that is so not my thing. I mean, years ago I used to do karaoke, and then, you know, so I used to do it then. And then when I was doing theater and I was kind of hustling and grinding, you know, I would do people's birthday parties and stuff, and I would bring tracks. I've done some talent shows in the past and used tracks, but I'm so used to playing with a live band now that I do not like singing with tracks. And I have my track. and I'm kind of practicing with it, but it's just not, it's not the same feeling. It's very depressing to me.
You know, I can get that, Collie, because I have to say, you know, even when I've seen hip-hop artists perform with live musicians, I really dig that over the beats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing better than to see, you know, an artist performing live, you know, with live musicians. I think it just gives a different feel and brings life, you know, to the music all the way around. So I can understand that. But I guess, you know, Keon's right, though.
You got to do what you got. Yeah, I mean, there's times that you just may not
right.
be able to do it. So you have to
right.
you have to be able to have that. But it's just like, even if I don't bring a conga, I remember I went to some, it was some sort of open jam session or something, and I was like, well, I'm not going in there with a track, and I'm not going to sing a cappella. So I bought a sister with me that plays congas, and she played the congas, and I sang.
Okay.
I was like,
okay.
I just need a beat or something, but I needed it
yeah.
to be live, you know.
Right, right. Well, I understand that. Well, you know, we'll track your progress. We'll see. We'll hear the stories of Keon, I'm sure, you know, about, you know, your performances all over the world. And speaking of that, I understand that you've been to the UK.
Yes, yes, we went in June. Keon and I went in June to a music conference.
Okay.
And that was wonderful. It was great to meet the UK artists. There were a lot of U.S. artists over there as well, so it was great to meet them. I didn't know most of the artists there. I did not know that were from the artists that were from the United States. I did not know, and so it was just great meeting all of the artists, and you know, just vibing with them and
mm-hmm.
networking. And I got to perform. We all got to perform over there. It was
okay.
I think Friday, Saturday, and also Sunday. I was there for the Friday night
okay.
performance. Mm-hmm.
So, what was the feel of being in Europe as an artist, even though it was for a conference and everything? But you know, as you stated, you were able to perform. I understand it's a different feel being in Europe versus performing in the United States or being amongst artists in the United States. What are your thoughts?
Let me see. I just felt really, like, appreciated. Not that I don't hear, because I do,
mm-hmm.
and I do have a spot where I go to sing every Wednesday, and I have, you know,
right.
folks, I like to call them family instead of fans, that come,
sure.
you know, weekly and support me. But it just was so wonderful to go to this place that I've never been before, and for folks to know my music and to, you know, just be so supportive. And there's definitely a love of R&B and jazz that I don't know if we have here as much as we used to. There was just definitely a love for the music and just a love for artists and getting to
right.
know artists' stories and just bonding. And we had a wonderful, wonderful time. And we went to a radio station, Ujima Radio, and they were excited
okay.
to have us there, and they interviewed us on television. I mean, it was really wonderful.
That's amazing. I know it's something that you will always kind of cherish, that experience, and kind of stepping out in the industry with your peers.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a wonderful experience also. So coming back to the States and all, I understand that you have a new project called Light Up the Darkness. So
mm-hmm.
why don't you speak on that for a minute?
Okay, well, Kawani Ali is the producer of Light Up the Darkness. And we co-wrote all the songs except for the track 7, which is called Black Love.
Okay.
And we basically, when we met, started writing together and decided that we were going to call our music Holistic Soul, because I really have a jazz sound in my voice,
mm-hmm.
but we liked to incorporate other rhythms in with the jazz voice. And so we
okay.
felt, well, if we're using all these rhythms, it has a holistic sound.
Sure.
So we're going to call it Holistic Soul. And then
okay.
we felt that the themes were very uplifting as well. So we would, you know, we like that sort of brand for our music. And we went with the live sound again, and we just went in the studio, and we had started several years ago. We actually put out the track All You Need and Angel, and
okay.
Had some other songs that we hadn't finished. And just went back in once we decided to go back in and complete it, because I was performing and folks were like, well, When are you going to do the CD? We have All You Need an Angel, and we hear these other songs that you're doing live. When are you actually going to complete your CD? So it's really the encouragement of folks that were coming to see me that made me go in, and then also meeting Keon, it just really encouraged me to go in and complete the CD.
And the CD is complete now, right? And it's available?
Yes, it is available on iTunes and Amazon.com. And you can go on my website as well, ColeyWilliams.com, and you can see video and pictures, and you can connect to iTunes from the website as well.
Okay. Well, I would definitely encourage anybody listening to the show live. You've heard two tracks by Coley Williams so far, and I know you have to dig it, have to. Lady Mama Lod says, if you can sing, you can sing whether you're with a live band or whether you're with a track. So she's sending that encouragement out from Germany. But I definitely encourage you, you know, listening to the show, go check her out. Go check out the website and support her by purchasing a copy of her CD. This is how independent artists, you know, make their moves. They need not only your help in spreading the word about who they are, they need your help by purchasing their products. And definitely, it is worth it. It's worth it. Not only are you supporting them financially, but you're getting a product that you can, you know, sit at home and in your car and this and that and just, you know, groove to. So I always have to say that, Coley. That's just my big thing.
Thank you so much.
You know, got to support, you know, the artists, because I just really, really strongly believe, you know, this is how you make your move. So if you don't mind indulging me, you know, would you speak on the fact of how important it is, or your thoughts around the fans and what, you know, the fans mean to who you are in your career as an artist?
Well, I mean, it's everything. I you know, I would be doing this probably if I would be singing and acting and writing regardless, because it's just something that I do for me. But I mean, the folks that have come out to see me perform, they are the ones that have really encouraged me and have, you know, moved me to the point where I really felt like I could do this on a professional level. So I mean, I can't say enough. I mean, there have just been times. I remember one time, you know, I really believe that God speaks through people. So I remember one time that I was singing, actually with another band. Some of the guys that play with me play in another spot. And so they say, hey, come down to this, whatever that spot is, and sit in with us one night. So I went in and sat in with them. And I don't know what was going on with me. You know, we always go through, you know, different things. And there was a guy there, and he said to me, you know, you have touched me so much tonight, you know, with your singing. And he said, no matter what, no matter where you go, I know that this field, you know, can be difficult at times, but no matter where you go, what you do, remember that I love you. And, you know, just keep doing what you do. And I know this guy will never see me. You know, I may never see him again. But, I mean, that stayed with me, that this man took time out to say that to me. So, really, it's folks that have just come in, that have seen me at JoJo's and that have seen me other places that have said, you know, thank you so much for what you do and keep doing it. And that's why I really finished the CD. You know, I don't know if I would have, you know, I do have a drive, and I do, I like to finish what I start, but I definitely would say that they kind of kept, you know, planting that seed, you know, come on, girl, come on, you know, and I went ahead and just finished it.
So, you know, I have a feeling, you know, as time goes by, and I do this, you know, I call myself the artist cheerleader, and I have these imaginary leopard pom-poms. One day, Coley, I'm going to get real leopard pom-poms, because leopard's my thing. Obviously, you're on the leopard carpet with me, right? But, you know, in the years that I've been, you know, just really kind of into supporting underground independent artists, I'm definitely recognizing the fact that even though, you know, many, many have a talent, they don't necessarily have what it takes to become a successful artist and to put in the time and the work to do that. But from what you're sharing, it sounds like you're just the whole package, that you're very driven, you know, and that you definitely understand that you need to hone your craft and perfect it in a sense. And, you know what you're comfortable with as far as the style of how you like to perform, yet you understand that there will be times that you need to adapt. And I think those are all traits, you know, of an artist that really has what it takes, you know, to take things to the next level and to put in that hard work, because I think that you've already, you know, you know it, that it's not easy, you know, to step out there in a sense on faith, you know, and expose yourself this way and really want to do this for yourself, because it's something you have a passion for, but it's something that also you realize that people appreciate and enjoy. And then on top of it, bottom line, you know, to be able to make a living from it, being able to do your passion for yourself and for those that love what it is that you do. So now, are you still teaching?
Yes,
or are you living
it? And that is a grind. Oh, my gosh. And I'm off for the summer, so this has been fabulous. And, you know, we're just going to keep on. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to keep it in, like, meditation and prayer. We'll see how things work. But this is what really has paid for. Granted, I mean, I did go on Kickstarter, and I was able to raise, with support from family and friends, I was able to raise over $3,000 to finish the CD. But before that, and, you know, it continues to be my day job that really is funding everything. So, so we, you know, we're just going to just keep it moving. We're just going to keep, and I have been doing that. I've been teaching and I've been singing, and I think that also makes me strong. Because I'm like, you know what, you know, how many, and I don't like to compare myself to other people, but I was just like, how many people could really do this every day? And I work with young children. I work with four-year-olds. How many folks could go in every day and do this and then at night go sing? And, you know, I have to be very careful, you know, with my vocals. I have to make sure I rest. I have to make sure I take care of myself. But I'm, you know, and I do love, I really, really love working with children. And I've used music with them as well. But I know something's going to eventually have to give. I understand that. And I really would like to pursue the performing full-time, and I actually, at one point, did. I actually left teaching, and I was doing theater full-time. And I went back, actually became ill. At one point, that actually was in my bio. I think we took that out, but I actually I was ill, and I was just like, you know what, let me go back to teaching. I have a degree, and I can do the music thing at night, and I could work during the day. And that's when I made the shift from theater to performing live and working in the studio.
Okay. Well,
I'm a lot better
now.
Everything's great.
Well, good. I'm not going to, you know, ask you to say, okay, but it was what was wrong. You know, and I would imagine that just, you know, people tell me all the time, you know, Flav, you got to take care of yourself, you know, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to help others and do the things that it is, you know, that you want to do. And I think that's something that, you know, people, when you get into this industry, I mean, it's such a grind that, you know, like you say, okay, you have to go to work, you know, despite the fact that you do love working with the children, you know, it is something that you need, because you need the financial end result from going to your job to pay for what it is that you do as an artist, you know, and then you go out and then you perform, you know, as an artist and everything. And, you know, just like with me, if I'm not careful, I have to tell myself to step away from the computer and go to bed.
Right.
You know, and I would imagine that, you know, artists have to really do that, too. I know that Stephen Jerome Ferguson will talk about sometimes going into the studio for 16 hours straight or something, you know, working on a piece and not, you know, living off of Twinkies and coffee or something and not even really realizing the amount of time that he's been there. But I think that it is important to recognize when you need to, you know, make a change in your life and take care of you, because, you know, this thing, you know, being in this industry, it's so competitive.
Yes.
It is so challenging, and there's so many obstacles. You know, you might think that you have a road, you know, a map, you know, all marked out of how you want to do it, but you got to sometimes take those detours and stuff and accept that. And, you know, again, it just sounds like you are one that kind of knows, you know, what you need to do to make this work. So I'm going to jump into another track, Coley, and I'm going to play Everywhere I Go.
Okay.
And this is by Coley Williams, my featured guest on the Leopard Carpet today, Everywhere I Go.
I like that.
That's right. We were just listening to Everywhere I Go by my featured guest on the Leopard Carpet Day today with Coley Williams. And one thing I have to say, you know, even just listening to that piece right now, and it's something that I've really been paying attention to, your voice is so clear, like pure and crystal clear in the recording.
Thank you.
It almost felt like you were singing it live. And I'll be really honest with you, I don't think I have ever noticed a clarity in a singer voice of a track that I play on my show to that degree. So my curiosity is, how important is it in your recording and the products that you put out and, you know, even when you perform at JoJo's on Wednesday, how important is it to just have that polished sound and look for people to experience?
Well, I think it's very important to me. I was sharing with someone else that my biggest influence, my biggest female vocalist, the biggest influence that was a female vocalist is Roberta Flack. And her vocals are extremely clear. Her tone is just so beautiful to me. And I just listened to her over and over again as a young person. And I think you can get stuck, though, sometimes in trying to be a perfectionist. And I've tried to move away from that and just be free. You know,
sure.
So I've tried to balance being free and trying to be clear and on pitch, and you know, because you can get stuck in that way, and then people won't feel what you're singing. So there's that balance for me. But I have always been very, very much. I really can hear myself. I really pay attention to when I'm singing. I try to listen to myself when I'm singing. I say to my guitar player that plays with me on Wednesday nights all the time, "Did you hear that note? I don't know if I." I said, that note was a little strange. And he was like, "Will you stop?" But I just really pay attention. And, you know, that can harm you. The engineer that I worked with in completing Light of the Darkness said to me, you know, perfection can lead to paralysis.
Mm.
So lots of times with the producer and the engineer, they'd say, "Just let it go. Just let it go."
Okay.
I would say, "Well, I don't like that note." And they'd say, "But we can feel it. So we can feel that note. Just let it go. It may not be exactly where you want it to be, but we can feel it." So it's a balance, but it is very important to me. It is very, very important to me.
Well, I think that you must really work with some very quality people, too, that understand you and what it is that you want to create, but also have a very, very good ear and understanding of the equipment to just be able to record you that clearly.
Yeah, Nate is the engineer. I was at Rose Recording Studios. That's where I recorded everything in Bowie, Maryland.
Okay.
And Nate has been wonderful, and he actually produced track 7, which is Black Love. He actually produced that. Everything else Kwani Ali produced. But, yeah, between Nate and then Kwani, they work really well together, and they work really well with me. And knowing the way I am, yeah, and so they're just like, okay, it's going to be okay. You know, and so I think that at first Kwani and I used to struggle with that because he used to just say I was just too much of a perfectionist. And I think that the more that I went in the studio and the more I became comfortable, I was able to understand what they were saying, that sometimes, you know, sometimes I could hear it. I was like, okay, I feel that. It may not be exactly the way I want it, but I do feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to understand. And then other times I was just like, absolutely not. It sounds horrible. We've got to change it, you know. So I began to feel more confident and really put my foot down. And when I first went in the studio, I kind of listened a lot to whatever Kwani said because I felt that I was a novice and he really knew more than me. But as I became more comfortable, I felt like, you know, no, I'm really sure about this and I really know what I want this to sound like. And then he began to respect my opinion because he saw the work that I was putting in.
Right. So now that you have your CD out and, you know, you have the background in theater and, you know, you're still teaching, you know, you are young people, you know, I'll have to tell you, I really admire anybody who is a teacher or a daycare worker. I am a grandma. I I take care of a 3-year-old and an 8-year-old every Monday through Friday. You know, it's summertime, so Sean's here all the time, and I'm like, I really admire teachers and daycare workers, because I really think it's a special gift to be able to work with young people, and it's such a needed, you're such a needed person. You know, I know even though you want to step out there and be an artist, but teachers are so needed, you know, because you guys are some of the first influences in a young person's life, you know, along with their families. And my hat is off to you, my friend. Cause
thank you. I really do wish that that we at least in this country, that we had more respect for our teachers, because I know,
right.
You know, folks come from other countries and they treat us like royalty. I mean, I have a lot of families and work with a lot of young people now that are from El Salvador, and some children that are from Ghana, and their parents definitely treat us differently, I think, than some of our American families, because there's a different respect for teachers there. You know, I wish that there was more of that, but the children are just so lovely and wonderful, and children are honest, and I think that working with them, I just love how they're real with one another. They're not always, it's not always something that they want to, that you want to hear, and you have to teach them sometimes that you know, you don't say that the person's fat, you know,
right.
Even though, you know, but if that's what comes to mind,
well,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they are honest, and there's not a lot of junk with them. You know where you stand with them, and I really, really enjoy that. And actually, I feel like I have more patience with them sometimes than adults. But it has kept me young, because I work with them, with really young ones, and so I'm on my feet all day. I do not sit down. And
right.
It has really kept me young and has given me the energy, I think, to do, you know, what I do.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, so my next question is leading into all of that. What can we expect out of Coley Williams here in the near future and distant future?
Well, I'm looking forward to touring. We're working on that. And definitely want to start putting out some more music. We have things that we wrote that we didn't even record. So we have singles that we want to put out. I think we'll probably do that before we put out a complete CD again, but definitely look forward to hearing some music, new music coming out of us soon, because we have a lot of stuff that's there, that's sitting, that we haven't even recorded yet. So I'm excited about that. You know, I thought when I finished the CD, I was so excited, and I thought I wouldn't want to go back into the studio, but I think it becomes a little addictive, and I really want to get back in there. I'm excited because I feel like I've learned so much now, and I'm ready to go back in there.
Right. I guess I could see that, you know, doing the radio shows. I'm so driven and, you know, drawn to creating a new show. I think I do like 6 different shows or something that I could see, you know, as an artist, especially if you've created something that you're kind of really proud of. And like you said, you learned, you know, a lot from the first experience. In this short amount of time, I could see that you're driven and that you, you know, you want to just get in there and just make things happen. So I respect that, definitely respect that. I'm going to ask you something, and I did not clear it with Keon or with you, but is there any chance of getting you just to sing a little bit live?
Ooh, okay, yeah. What would you like me to sing?
Hey, anything you would like. I would just love to hear you sing live.
Okay, I'm trying to think if I would sing one of my my tunes or, I guess, of course, I would sing let me see. How about, Old Soul? I don't think you played Old Soul. I'll sing Old Soul.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
Okay. This is a song that I really wrote about myself and my connection to the ancestors. So it starts off like this. This is for the ancestors, Ella, Sarah, Billy, John, Duke, and Louie. We were ancestors. Sometimes I feel I don't fit in, like what I feel was way back when. It seems like I've been here before. I'm living now, but the past is knocking at my door. I'm calling on the spirits to bring me back to the past and bless me with those melodies. Ella, Sarah, Billy, come on and talk to me and take me back in history. It's an old soul for a new day. Something you heard before and it touched your heart once more. It's an old soul for a new day. Although time will pass, this is something that will last. Oh, oh. That's a snippet from Old Soul.
Oh, that is absolutely amazing. I mean, you know, when I asked, I wasn't sure if you would grant me my wish, but I mean, that just amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Lady Marmalade is like, you know, it gave her shivers, and I'm sitting over here like grinning, almost feeling like I want to cry or something. You know, it was like, wow.
Oh,
amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What? Thank you so much for doing that. Just, man, that just simply beautiful. But on top of it, I agree with Lady Marmalade. The words, you know, says so much. And I think it's something that we always need to honor our ancestors, always.
Oh, yes,
you know, because they paved the path for, you know, who we are now and what we are able to experience that they didn't get to experience. So beautiful. Thank you so very much for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Oh, well, you know, I'm such a sucker. You know, I don't always know how I could push it. I'm actually being really nice with you because, you know, I have a tendency to just kind of go all over the place because I get excited. And I think that, Coley, one of the things that I really, really love, especially about the leopard carpet, is the fact that I get a chance to kind of get to know the artist. And for me, I can have such a love and appreciation for who you are and reading bios and hearing your sound. But when I hear your story, for me, it helps kind of really understand the art, if that makes
right.
sense.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of just brings it all full circle for me as somebody all the way in Seattle, Washington, to really understand your flavor, you know. So I really appreciate the time, you know, you gave to me. I'm so sorry for the little glitches at the beginning of the show, but I'm definitely going to edit that out just in case you want to use this show for something in the future. I will
okay,
edit
cool.
all the glitches out and everything. But I want to just really, really honestly thank you for taking the, you know, time out of your busy schedule and doing this with me, and I appreciate Keon. I think that one of the things, that if we could talk about it before I close out the show, I think you've got an amazing manager.
Oh, most definitely.
You know, he represents you very professionally. You know, you can tell that he's very proud and has a true passion for you and your talents. And, you know, and I really respect that. I don't think a lot of artists know how to go about connecting with the right manager. And I don't think that a lot of artists really understand what a manager can really, really do for them. So I do think that, you know, you're very, very blessed to have Keon, you know, in your world as an artist, because he's very, very professional.
Most definitely. I mean, I always tell folks that, like, I prayed for him. I really did, because I was, like, exhausted. I was like, I can't do this, you know, by myself. I really, really need help. And I was like, I need somebody, you know, that has a lot of energy, that's young, that's vibrant, that's, you know, going to have my back. I was very specific. And I met Keon, and it's not by chance at all, but okay. It seemed like chance. We were at a music conference, and it was very interesting because he actually dropped his camera. He didn't realize that I was the one that passed it to him. We were in the one of the workshops in the conference. He dropped his camera. I picked it up and gave it to him. That was the first interaction we had. Then out in the hallway, okay. I was passing by him, and he said, "Hi, how are you, and what do you do?" And then we actually just started talking and stayed in contact, and that's how it all started. So, I mean, it really – but then when he started telling me about himself, I was like, okay, this is what I've been – this is the person I've been praying for, you know. So it really, really is a blessing, and I can't say enough good things about Keon Brooks.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, sometimes being in the right place at the right time, you just never know what doors can open up. And so, I mean, clearly it's working for you. So,
can I ask you a question? Is that okay?
Yes,
is that like
of course. No, of course.
No, I wanted to ask you, because I'm kind of into astrology a little bit, when your mm-hmm. birthday was.
July 7th.
Oh, you're a Cancer. Okay.
I really
like Cancer. A lot of my girlfriends are Cancers. So, because I was like, I just love your energy and spirit, and I'm not saying that. I don't suck up to people. I wouldn't tell you that. If I didn't really feel it, I can feel your energy. I just think you're wonderful. So I just wanted to thank you for just a wonderful interview.
Oh, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed doing this, but I enjoyed hearing your story, you know, and I appreciate you kind of freely sharing, Coley, you know, I do a pretty good job, you know, with most of the guests that step onto the leopard carpet. But
right.
I believe that this will, you know, I'll openly say it, this is going to go down in history as one of my favorite. And the reason being is because there's warmth, there's love, there's professionalism, there's passion, there's determination, and that can all be felt in just, you know, this short amount of time together. And that's what I loved about this today, because it's something that I'm so into, and I always pay attention to what makes it work for an artist. You know, what makes it work for myself, and why do I do what I do? You know, and you are just a representation of why I'm over here waving my leopard pom-poms for you girlfriends.
I need some.
But please know this, and Keon, know this, that if there is anything that I can ever do to help you, I definitely will be continuing to play your music on all of my Flavor News radio shows. I am also on a station that's being heard in London, UK, called Writings Radio, so I will make sure that your sound is heard over there. I am also moving to another station that has the capabilities of paying out royalties. It is an online radio station that is heard globally. I'm working with a known 30-year jazz radio personality. And I'm just so excited to be able to take some of the artists with me over there that have that top crisp sound. Of course, you have that. To be able to play over there and to also be played on his show. He is willing to play artists that I really push and say, you know, you need to play him, Cedric. He only supports mainstream artists, but he's willing to blend some independent artists in with the mainstream artists on his show. So I am definitely, if that's something you're interested in, I will be playing you over there. I will submit you to his show, and I'm sure he won't turn you down. And, you know, we can do, you know, if you've got something you want to promote, an event, you know, even if it's just JoJo's on Wednesday, send me a flyer, girl. I'll put it all
okay.
over my website.
Okay.
You know, if you got something going on, just let me know. Hey, Flavor, can you help me, you know, put this out? You know, we can circulate on a regular basis, you know, your iTunes, whatever it is. I'm more than happy to help you.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you. The thing we're really going to start working on are more visuals. We want to get some more video out there. So that's
okay.
our next project. I do have a video for the reggae tune on my CD, You Reggae
okay.
Love, but we're going to start working on putting some more stuff out.
Okay, well, definitely, you know, send me the link to that because I'll help put you out there as far as, you know, getting your visuals. And I think that visuals are important. I think that's just another step that allows us as a fan to just connect with the artist when we can see you and
right.
just kind of get a sense of, you know, you and your flavor that you're sharing and all of that. I think that's a great way, a great marketing tool, you know, for putting yourself out there. So I am going to bid you goodbye, my friend. I am going to close out the show with your piece called In and Out of Love. And, again, I thank you so very much for stepping on the leopard carpet. Coley, why don't you tell people where they can actually find you online, though?
www.coleywilliams.com. That is like the main place. I'm also on Facebook, Reverb Nation, but that is my website, coleywilliams.com. So reach out, and thank you for everything. And I'm just excited about what's to come, and I'm just going to keep putting music out there, and hopefully it will lift people higher. That's the reason why I do it. So thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome, and definitely your music will lift people higher. So I want to thank everybody who tuned in to the Leopard Carpet today, to those that were hanging out in the wings, to those that came into the chat room, and to those that were listening on the phone. Thank you so much for coming back. Spread the word. Have people come back and check out Coley Williams in the archives, because this is definitely a time that's worth just spending, you know, sitting in your quiet and checking her out. Go support her as an artist. Help spread the word. Hit that share button. Go purchase her CD. And let's make this happen for Coley Williams in 2011 going into 2012. And, again, Coley, thank you so much for hanging out with me. And I'm going to close out the show with In and Out of Love by Coley Williams.
I'm not afraid to